الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير
Allah says in the Holy Quran, commanding the believers, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O those who believe, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن Refrain from much suspicion. Why? Why should you refrain from much suspicion? Because إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ Because certainly some suspicion, it is a sin. So when some suspicion is a sin, and you do not know which one is a sin, avoid much from it. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives three prohibitions. And in the previous verse, just before this, preceding this, Allah also mentions three prohibitions. Prohibitions that is connected to social relationship with people, Muslims especially. How do we live with each other? In the previous ayat, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ Three things were made forbidden there. One, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that some people must not laugh at other people. Some people must not mock other people. They must not make fun out of other people. The second prohibition, Allah says, that some of you should not slander or defame others. That some people will slander against other people and defame them. And then Allah says that it is forbidden. Allah says in the Holy Quran that it is forbidden to call other people by such nicknames which will ridicule them and humiliate them and embarrass them, etc. Three prohibitions there. Here are other three prohibitions. Altogether there are six prohibitions. Six prohibitions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed concerning our relationship among ourselves. So first of all, He says, O believers, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن Refrain much from suspicion. إِنَّ بَعْضَ ظَنِّ إِثْمٌ That certainly some suspicion, it is a sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, ظُنُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا Always have good ظن and good thoughts about a believer. The question that comes up here is that based on this ayat, Allah is saying, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن Avoid much from suspicion. Avoid much from suspicion. Now He did not outrightly prohibit suspicion. He just prohibited kathiran, most of it. So if He is prohibiting most of it, it tells us that some of it might be permissible. This is why He is not prohibiting all. But He is saying kathiran min adhan. That avoid much from suspicion. So the masala that comes up here, it is, what is the Islamic ruling with respect to suspecting a person of something? Or having run thoughts, suspicions about something. In response to that and in answering this, one of the great fuqaha of the past, one of the great faqih and jurists of the past, very great scholar, mufassir of the Holy Quran, Abu Bakr Jassas, in his book Ahkam al-Quran, he has mentioned that there are four types of run that comes in the minds of people. Four types of suspicions that comes in the minds of people. Four types of thoughts. Zan in Arabic, sometimes it will refer to what just thoughts and sometimes suspicion. But most of the time in the context which it is using, it refers to suspect something. Because there is another word which is called khiyal. Khiyal means the thoughts. in Arabic. So he says sometimes to suspect certain things become haram upon a person. At some time, not all times. Certain times it becomes haram upon a person to suspect certain things or to have certain thoughts. One, for example, that type of suspicion which a person has about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he brings in his heart and he brings in his mind that Allah will never forgive me. Allah will not show mercy on me. That I have done so many wrong things that Allah will never ever forgive me. That is a dhan. We use the Arabic word a dhan that comes to the mind or the heart which is prohibited. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yamutunna ahadukum wa la yamutunna ahadakum illa wa huwa yuhsinu dhan billah." None of you should die except in a state that you have good thoughts about Allah. So when you are leaving this world, even though a person may have committed many sins, it is still required from him in Islam to have good thoughts about Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor, Allah is ghafar, He is most forgiven, He is most merciful. So even though a person may have committed errors and mistakes, he should not give up hopes in Allah. This is what the Quran says. لا تَيَّسُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. So that type of thoughts, and also, if a believer seems to be a righteous person in our sight, and he seems to be a good person, a upright person, it is haram for us to bring such thoughts in our mind that we'll think bad about that person. To look at a person and say, I feel this man gambles, and you have no dalil and no proof. To look at a person and say, I feel he don't even perform his salat 5 times a day. It is haram. To look at a person and say that it looks like he's in some mischief, or he's behind some, you know, bad thing. Na'uzubillah. You know, sometimes people have a tendency just to look at the face and say, that person has something up his sleeve. You don't have any dalil, then that is haram to think that manner. Have some proof. Have some evidence. Islam stops us to think in any and any way we want to think in. And Islam also stops us from acting in any and any way we want to act in. So therefore, Islam teaches us that certain times we have to control our mind and stop it from wavering and stop it from thinking this and thinking that. And this is one instant that you look at a person and you think something bad about a person, that is not permissible in Islam. So that is one type of run which will come and it will become haram because you have no evidence to prove that. Therefore you remain quiet, don't even think that about that person. The other type of run, even this, it is with respect to that type of run. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Iyaka wa dhan. He says, beware of much dhan. Beware of suspicion. Beware of all these evil thoughts that will creep into the mind. فَإِنَّ الظَّنْ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. For certainly, most of the dhan, in fact dhan itself, it is the worst form of lying. When you will suspect something about a person. And what happens, this is how the mind works. When you suspect, then you tend to believe in that direction. So here is it, that you would have already judged a person based on mere suspicion. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Akdabul hadith," it is the worst form of lying. The other type of one that has been outlined is that which is wajib. And it is wajib to practice upon it. When there is something called an Arabic dhann al-ghalib, predominant thought. And a practical example of that is that if a person finds himself in such an area where he has to perform salat but he does not know in which direction the Qibla lies. So there, what will come in your mind? You do not have any firm belief in a specific direction. There is nothing to tell you that the Qibla is in this direction. You cannot even see the sun. It might be nighttime or it can be daylight, but the place is overcast. So you are in the midst of nowhere now, wanting to perform salat. You do not have a compass with you and you do not know the direction. So here is where the Sharia says you have to think. Let the dhan come in your mind now. Suspect certain things. And the direction in which your brain goes towards, adopt that direction. So out of all direction, your mind, the thought will come to your mind that maybe it is in this direction. And when there is a predominant thought coming towards a certain direction, then you will have to practice upon that and perform salat in that direction. You do not know. The message is that in doing, while you are performing salat, you come to know about the true direction, then in your salat you will have to turn. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, as mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his hadith, that while they were performing salat, Jibreel came with the law, so they turned. If a person performs salat towards that direction, and after the completion of salat, someone informs him that that is the wrong, or was the wrong direction, the Qibla is the opposite direction, he do not have to repeat his salat. He is not accountable, and it is not essential upon him to repeat his salat. He did what was essential upon him according to what the Sharia has outlined to him, and nothing further than that. Okay, so in a case like that, there is a type of dhan will come into the mind, dhan thoughts, predominant overpowering thought, and in that case a person will have to make, you know, he will have to practice upon it. And there is another type of dhan which is mustahab, and it is mandub, thoughts which come, and that is, a person will get blessings for that. When he brings certain thoughts into his mind, he will be blessed for that. He will get blessings for that. What type of thoughts are those? When we bring thoughts, good thoughts about other people. In other words, shaitan also works. And whatever comes in bad about a person and evil, then that is from shaitan. That is waswasa. And when something good comes in, then that is from Allah. So when you have a good thought about a believing brother, then that is from Allah. That is not from shaitan. Because Satan is the one who sows enmity. Allah does not sow enmity. And when a bad thought comes, the result of the bad thought is enmity. Because the waswasa will come in the heart and say, listen, that person there, he's a wicked person, he's a bad person, he looks like he's not right. Something about him. And you entertain that, and you entertain that. And then you try to avoid the person. You do not want to be friends with the person, or meet him, or shake his hand. You try to avoid him. The result of that is enmity and hatred. On the other hand, if a good thought comes that, mashallah, he's your Muslim brother, you shouldn't scorn him. You shouldn't dislike him because he's a nothing in society, or he's poor, you know, no one speaks to him. No, he's your Muslim brother. So a good thought comes, what is the result of that? Brotherhood, love, unity. So that is a thought, when it comes in the mind, a person gains blessings upon that. That is, this is why it is called mustahab, a commendable one that comes. And then the dhan which is mubah, a dhan which comes into the mind with the heart, and a person is given the allowance to practice upon it or not to practice upon it. An example of that the fuqaha have given is that, for example, a person is in his salat. He had already performed 3 rakats, but now he is doubtful whether he performed 2 or 3. You do not know whether you have completed 2. You do not know whether you have completed 3. So the one is coming in your mind now. You know, that thought and that, you know, that suspicion, or you are suspecting that you had only completed 2. Now it is allowable for you to just think that it is 2 and continue from the 3rd one. Even though in reality, you may have completed 3. Now if you had completed 3 and you add 2, it will be 5. But because of the fact that you were in doubt in your salat, it is allowed for you to practice upon that which you have some thought about. You know, you can either practice on 2 or you can practice on 3. It is up to a person. But generally speaking, it is always better to practice upon the minimum. Because if you practice upon the minimum and you are to increase, at the end of the completion, it will be more than the required amount. And if you are to practice upon the maximum and at the end of it, you may fall short. Because let's say you said it was 3 rakats. They were 3 rakats. So in your mind, you're saying that I have 1 again. So you perform 3 and 1. But in reality, it was only 2. Then you have 2 plus 1, 3 rakats. But if you increase, you will go to 5. And if you go to 5, it means 4 is already complete. What is excess now, you know, that will just be, it will be fall out, drop out, or you will get blessings for it. So that is the one, zunun, or one that comes into the mind and the brain, and you will practice upon it. You know, sometimes it is commendable. So we learn from this here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. refrain much from zan, avoid much from suspecting people, having suspicion. Why? Because some of it is a sin. So therefore, those of the thoughts and those of, let's say, zan that is haram in Islam, then that is sinful, and as such, we should all refrain from that. And we should stop as a general law from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslims, because the address is Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Muslims should not go about suspecting things. There is no dalil, there is no evidence, do not go about suspecting things, because if it is wrong, then you will be committing a grave sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says now, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy. Do not spy each other. لَا تَجَسَّسُوا, do not spy. Spying, it has a literal meaning. Literal meaning that you are poking your eyes into someone's property. You are passing by and you are trying to look into the house of that person. You are spying on the person. And the person is going in a certain direction and you are spying to see where he is going. You know, you are looking now. You are looking whatever he is doing. You are trying to see what he is doing there. That is one angle of it. That is haram. That is haram. Because why are you doing all these things? What is the matter? He's your brother. Yeah, you're living the Amr. The address is to the believers. Spying can be permissible against unbelievers when a person knows that they are plotting against the believers, or they are trying to do some harm to the believers, and in order to get some information, it is allowable for them to spy so that the believers can defend themselves. That is permissible. And the Prophet ﷺ did it in certain battles. He sent forth Sahabas to spy, to see the amount of the unbelievers coming, to see the amount of their ammunition, etc., so that they can prepare themselves for battle. Spying in jihad is permissible, in fighting, in wars, in battles, because it helps you to prepare for the enemy. But besides that, it is totally haram to spy on someone. And one aspect of spying is to do it literally, that someone can see that, why are you spying? Why you are looking at the person? And another part of it is to pry into the privacy or the private affairs of a person, that is also spying. So it might not be a literal thing that you are looking at what this person is doing, or you are looking to see what he's writing, or you are looking to see what he has in his book, or you are looking to see which direction he's taking, but no, you are not doing it with your eyes. But what you are doing, you are finding out information from people. You are prying into his privacy, finding from this one, finding out from that one, moving from place to place to find about the privacy of that person. That is spying also, and that is condemned in this ayah of the Quran. This is why the Mufassirin have stated, they say that even if a person sits on a chair with the intention to listen to the conversation of other people, which is none of his business, that is tajassus and that is spying. So you come, people are speaking in the masjid, so you come, you pull out your tasbih and you sit in a corner of the masjid, but your ear is over there eavesdropping your corner. That is spying. That's totally haram in Islam. Wherever it is, whether it is in a house, whether it is a place of work, whether it is, that is haram. And also, the Mufassirin have gone to the extent to say, even to pray that you are sleeping in order to listen to the conversation of people. So people will think that he's sleeping, so they can say what they want to say. That is also haram. That falls under tajassus. So Allah says, that is a very dangerous thing. And if we look at these prohibitions Allah has given to us, we see that really, these are the things that causes a lot of conflict, disunity, disharmony in the Muslim Ummah. You know, spying on each other, suspecting, you know, you suspect. Sometimes a person may have not done something, but you suspect it is him. But do you have any proof to prove that? No. Why do you suspect him? Innocently. So, لا تجسسوا, do not spy on each other. And spying also refers to the act of seeking the faults of people. This falls under that ayah also. A person has a fault and you seek the fault of that person to bring out the fault of that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and let not some of you backbite others. Let not some of you backbite others. So Muslims should not backbite other Muslims. What is backbiting? Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions, he said, do you know what is backbiting? They said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lamu, Allah, his messenger, knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is to say something behind the back of your believing brother, which if he hears of, he will dislike it. This is backbiting. To speak something of your believing brother behind his back, which if he hears about it, he will dislike it. The Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, what if what we are speaking about him, it is the truth? Will that still be backbiting? He said, that is indeed backbiting. For if you lie against him, will be slandering. So first of all, if we are sitting behind the backs of our believing brothers or sisters, which is not true, that is slandering. That is tuhmat, which is a major sin in Islam. Now if we are to speak the truth, but such truth which they will not like to hear, that we are speaking that behind their backs, that is backbiting, and it's about that the Holy Quran speaks. لَا يَقْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, let not some of you backbite others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion, he said to the believers, he said, O people, لَا تَغْتَابُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, do not backbite the Muslims. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا أَوْرَاتَهُمْ, and do not seek their faults. What does seeking the fault mean? It means to intentionally do something to bring out the faults of a person, or to disclose the faults of a person, or to show up the faults of a person, or to make manifest the faults of a person. It can happen in many ways. A person is not aware of the fault of that person, so a person goes about, he says, do you know that that was the same brother who did so and so? So you are revealing his faults, and you are seeking his faults, and you are bringing out the faults. It is about this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا تَقْتَوْا الْمُسْلِمِينَ, do not backbite the Muslims, do not backbite the believers. وَلَا تَقْتَبِيُوا أَوْرَاتَهُمْ, do not seek their faults, go after looking their faults. Why? فَإِنَّ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ أَوْرَاتَهُمْ يَتَّبِعَ اللَّهُ أَوْرَاتَهُ, for certainly whosoever goes about seeking the faults of his brothers, then Allah will go after seeking his faults. And whomsoever Allah seeks the faults of, Allah will humiliate him even in his own house. Allah will humiliate him and disgrace him in his own house. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we should not, one, backbite, as the Holy Quran mentions. And he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, we should not develop that attitude of, you know, looking after the faults. And, you know, sometimes people are caught in that so much that that is the maksar of their life, and that is the chores of their daily affairs. As soon as the morning opens, but that is a job. And these are the people who are not peaceful unless they speak the business of other people, or if they make some kuchu or something, they are restless. And you see them looking like fish out of water, and you say, what's wrong, brother? And they say, no, nothing. But it's just they cannot find someone to speak about, or they cannot find some business to speak about, or they cannot find some faults to pull out, because the topic of all the discussions, it is about other people, never about their own. As the ulamas have mentioned, the success of an individual lies on when he begins to take his eyes off other people and put it on his own self. There is where his success lies. Because when he begins to put his eyes on himself, he will see his fault, he will correct himself. And as long as his eyes do not fall on himself, he's going to see the faults of every single person, but not himself. So this is why you say, this is the success of the individual. Take it out of others, put it on yourself,
And then there is another famous stanza that says that if the eyes which normally looks at the ills of other people were to go on oneself, then the person will realize that there is no bad person on the face of the earth, because then he will be constantly worried about the ills of his own self. What has he done? What is wrong with him? Why is he casting the blackness on his heart by hatred and malice and enmity and all these things? There was once a person during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was in his majlis when all the Sahaba surrounded him. And a person came and he sat for a while, and when the majlis ended, the person walked away and he went. And when the person was going away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that man is a man from Jannat. What did he say? He said, that man is a man from Jannat. So one Sahabi, he said when he heard that, he was very curious as to why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that. It's authentic hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi also. So what he decided to do, he decided to follow that individual. And he followed him to his home. So when he reached to the home of that person, the person saw him entering the house. Salaamu alaikum. He says, well, I am a musafir, I am a traveler. I am traveling from one place to the other place, so I would like permission to stay at your place until, you know, the 3 days come to completion. That is, you know, it's the minimum of treating a guest, 3 days. Within that time, a person finds his own transport, etc. So the person says, no problem. So the Sahabi says, he says, my maqsad and objective was just to look at all his a'mal and actions to see what did this person do that the Rasul of Allah is bearing testimony that this man is a man from Jannat. He said he stayed throughout the period. The day will pass. He did not get up for any tahajjud. No tahajjud. No extra ibadah during the day. He wasn't fasting during the day. Extra sadaqat and charity, you know, things that people will look at as, you know, that person is a person who performs tahajjud every morning, mashallah, is a very great buzuk, he's a muttaqi, mashallah. That is in order, but that is not all in Islam that brings success to a person. That is not all in Islam. Many things come. Remember the incident of Alqama, who was a very pious person, but because his mother was not ready to forgive him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying that the fire of hell awaits him. But the mother himself says, he fasts during the day, he stands in tahajjud every night. He's a very righteous man. But because of certain other actions, then Allah's mercy stops towards that person. So he said, the first day passed, the second day passed, and at the end of the third day, still he did not see anything. So when he was about to leave, he disclosed his real objective to the person. And he said, He spoke to him and he said, listen, the real objective of mine being here is not really that I am a musafir. I came to you. Why? Because once you came to the majlis, the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when you departed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified that you are a person from Jannat. So I wanted to know, what good actions did you do that I also may emulate? Because whatever you do, it means that it must be some great actions that will take you to Jannah. The Rasul of Allah is saying that. And he cannot lie. He will not lie. So he says, what special things do you do? I have not seen anything. The man said, I do not do any special thing. I do not make extra special ibadat. Wake whole night. I work very hard during the day in my fields. So when I come in the evening, I'm very tired and exhausted, so I cannot get up early in the morning for tahajjud. And I must go to the field again in the hot sun. I cannot fast. So I'm very tired. All I know that I do, I go to my work, I perform my 5 times for salat, I come home. However, there is one thing that I do every night. And every night before I go to sleep, I do it. Is that when I am about to sleep, I sit on my bed and I make dua to Allah. And I say, oh Allah, whomsoever has done any wrong to me, I forgive all of them. And whatever wrong I have done, oh Allah, to anyone, please forgive me and put it in their hearts that they may forgive me also. And I go to sleep with a clean and pure heart, without any hatred, without any malice, without any enmity whatsoever in my heart. That is all I do.
The Sahabi said, that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. So it's sometimes with all the ibadat, my dear brothers and sisters, the heart is still spoiled. Why? Because of the diseases that surround it. And all of these things are the diseases of the heart. Envy, jealousy, malice, hatred, all these different things. Backbiting, slandering, gossip, all these things are totally haram in Islam. And they just, they break the heart and they break the nuraniyat and the light of the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering us. He's not telling us it is a good act if you stop backbiting. He says you cannot do it. It is haram. So, what she is? The Prophet of Allah said, O Aisha, you have said such a word that if it is mixed with all the oceans, it will blacken the oceans. Such a word you have said. Beware. So it is not permissible to even say that. That will also fall under backbiting. Because will the person feel comfortable if he hears that directly? No. Once a person came to the majlis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he left and he went. And the Sahabas, after he left, they said to the Prophet of Allah, Prophet of Allah, this man eats too much. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have eaten the flesh of your brother. They said, but oh Prophet of Allah, that is the truth. He said, that is why that is backbiting. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the majlis when a person got up and he left the majlis. And as soon as he left, another person said something about him. The hadith is mentioned in Ahmad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, clean your teeth. He says, why? I have not taken meat. He says, you have eaten the flesh of your brother and it is apparent in your teeth. Clean your teeth. The Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum says that we were in a majlis once with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when suddenly a very bad scent blew over us. It was very, very bad. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at us and he said, do you know what scent is this? This bad scent that is coming. They said, no, Allah and His Rasul knows best. He says, over on that side there are some munafiq and hypocrites who are backbiting the believers right now, and this scent is coming from that. So it is a very, very serious crime in Islam to backbite someone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how that is compared to. What is the tashbih? The likeness of when a person backbites another one. Allah says, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Does any one of you wish that he should eat the flesh of his brother who is dead? فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. That person will surely dislike that. In other words, Allah says you are backbiting each other. In reality, what you are doing, you are eating the flesh of your brother. Will you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Obviously, you will dislike that. So why do you like to backbite your brother? It is the same thing. Backbiting is actually eating the flesh of the brother. So if you dislike that, then you will dislike this also. So Allah says, the Quran says, وَاتَّقُوا then fear Allah with respect to backbiting, because this is what it does. This is what it does. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Certainly Allah is oft returning. Allah is most merciful, forgiving. So in other words, the ayat ends up with that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Meaning, all believers, if for some reason or the other, some of these things have occurred from you, slandering, defaming each other, backbiting, slandering, then Allah will accept your tawbah. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Make tawbah to Allah. Make amends of what you have done. When we look at these ayats, we see that six prohibited things that are mentioned here. One, as we mentioned before, is that of to laugh and mock other people. The other one is to slander and defame. The other one was to call people by names. Then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, avoid much from suspicion. And then Allah says, do not spy. And the last one, the sixth one, He says, let not some of you backbite each other. And of the six prohibited things, Allah went into tafsir and explanation more on the one that is backbiting. He gives us a very serious thing to think about. on the point of backbiting. You know why? With respect to the six, the worst of all of them is backbiting. The worst of them all is backbiting. Because if a person is called by a nickname, then he can correct that. He can tell the brother, listen, you know, I don't like that. If a person, something is said wrong about a person in front of him, he can say, brother, that is not true. He can defend himself. If a person spies on another one and he knows that, he can, you know, trash that out and say, why are you spying on me? That can be corrected. So in the other five, whenever the individual is present and he knows about these things, it can be corrected immediately. But when the brother, he is spoken about behind his back, he cannot defend himself. He cannot defend himself. Whenever he's spoken against his back, then the world of evil things can be spoken about him, and he cannot defend himself. So people will continue to believe what was said about him. And then you will have a lot of people hating him for something which he did not do to them, just based on the backbiting that occurred about him. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn some emphasis on it, and he said, it is the likeness, backbiting is like eating the flesh of another Muslim brother. So Allah says, Wattaqullah, the Quran says, Wattaqullah, fear Allah in this regard. Inna Allah tawwabur rahim. Allah is oft returning. Tawwab means yani qabil at-tawba, the one who will accept all repentance. Therefore, O believers, repent unto Allah. Rahim, Allah is most merciful. So when you repent, He will forgive you out of the mercy He has for you. Allah says now, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَرَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنَّ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. The shine in Nuzula, the sabab in Nuzula, the cause of revelation for this ayah, it is mentioned that on the conquest of Makkah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam deputed Bilal radiallahu ta'ala to call the azan. It is the first time azan has been given in the Haram Sharif. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now enters with the whole jamaat of the people, the sahabas, 10,000 in number, on the conquest of Makkah. He enters, he makes tawaf, he enters inside the Kaaba. He asks Bilal radiallahu ta'ala to give the azan. The Bilal in the history of Islam was sounded from the place in which 260 idols were placed. Clean from the idols, and now the words of Allah and the greatness of Allah is being sung from the sacred precincts, the house of Abraham alayhi salam, which he built, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that happened, some people from among the Meccans, people who were weak in Islam, who have not accepted Islam, or were just looking on, they started to use remarks against Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Some of them said, all praise is due to Allah who has caused my father to die before he saw a day like this. In other words, where a black person will give the azan in the Haram Sharif. Harith bin Hisham, he said, could not Muhammad find anyone besides this black vulture? Na'uzubillah. People started to say that. Abu Sufyan said, me, I am not going to say anything because Allah will reveal something to His Messenger. I'm not going to say anything. At that point in time, this ayat was revealed immediately. The ayah teaches us that in the sight of Allah there is nothing like black and white. No. What does Allah say? Now Allah, in the ayats preceding this, Allah spoke to the believers, qualities which the believers must adopt. But an address is to the whole mankind now. Ya ayyuhan nasu, O mankind, Allah is saying,
إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَىٰ
We have created you from one male and one female. Whether you are black or whether you are white, the same one male and female you came from. Whether you are Arab or whether you are non-Arab, it is the same one male and female you came from. There is no difference with respect to your origin.
وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا
Allah says, and we have made you into nations and tribes from that one male and one female. Allah made you into nations and tribes. Why? So that you may disunite yourself, so that you may seek fakr, you may become proud and arrogant on the color of your skin, or that you have a nice straight or curly hair and your skin is pink. Is this the reason why Allah made you into tribes and nations? No. Why did He make you into tribes and nations? لِتَعَارَفُ So that you may recognize each other and you may know each other. So it may not happen that everyone, they are one people. So therefore two people having the same name, you do not know who you are calling. But when Allah made tribes now, you will know Abdullah, who belongs to the Quraysh tribe, is different from Abdullah, who belongs to the Hashimi tribe, but both of them are Abdullahs. So the reason in this creation of tribes and nations is for recognition of each other, and this is where the quality of Iman will be shown. Because if you love your own brother, that is not really any kamal and perfection of Iman. Because both of you are from the same mother and father, you grew up together, you help each other. There is no kamal and perfection of Iman. You have to love each other. But when you have to love an outsider, who is not your blood, who is not a relative, who have never been kind to you, but because he says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you have to love him, then that is the sign of Iman. And this is where recognition will come of your believing brothers and sisters. You have to recognize now that irregardless of the language barrier and the race barrier and the country barrier, those who are believers are one nation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this, you know, creation of so many nations and qabail tribes, it is lita'arafu, so that people will recognize each other. Inna akramakum indallahi, now the most honored of you in the sight of Allah, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is atqakum, is the one who is the most pious amongst you. Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala had 10 legs. And once other people started to laugh at his thin legs, and he says, look at these thin, weak legs. And he started to make fun of him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him and says, beware. You do not know. Though they may be thin and weak, they are more weightier than Mount Uhud in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what you see. You do not know what Allah sees. They are more heavier than Mount Uhud in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, boss, you see Bilal, you use these bad remarks about Bilal, and you think Bilal is nothing, and Bilal is a slave, and Bilal is an African, Abyssinian. Not like that in the sight of Allah. The qanun and the principle in the sight of Allah is Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most respected and honored of all of you, the Holy Quran is saying, it is that person who has the most pious, who has the most piety, the most righteous and pious person, but he has honor and respect in the sight of Allah. Inna Allaha alimun khabir. Certainly Allah is fully aware of all they say, because he has knowledge. Khabirun, he is well informed. So they cannot say anything and it will escape Allah. Just as Abu Sufyan was saying that if he says anything, Allah will reveal. Surely Allah is alim and he is khabir. He is well informed. At that point, after this ayah was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam completed his tawaf, recited the ayah, and then he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba ankum ghaibat al-jahiliyati wa takabbura wa kibriyaikum wa takabburiha. That all praise is due to Allah. He was speaking to the Arabs now, thousands of them who have now accepted Islam and who are yet to accept Islam. Thousands, more than 10,000 of them were standing before him. And he said, all praise is due to Allah who removed from you that stain of ignorance which was in you. The ignorance which caused them to have wars for centuries, the ignorance which caused them to worship 360 idols, the ignorance which caused them to commit shirk with Allah, the ignorance which caused them to drink alcohol and gamble. He says all praise is due to Allah, who removed that stain of ignorance and the stain of takabbur, pride and arrogance from you. Then he said, "An-nasu rajulani." Allahu Akbar. A beautiful lesson for us. An-nasu rajulani. Men are only of two types. Not a two type. Only of two types. Rajulani. Birrun taqiyun kareemun ala Allah. Birrun. A man who is good. Taqiyun. The man who is righteous. Kareemun in Allah. Respectable in the sight of Allah. That is one type of human being. Birrun taqiyun kareemun ala Allah. Wafajirun. And the other type of human being. Fajirun shaqiyun hayyun ala Allah. A fajir, a transgressor. Shaqiyun, an unfortunate person. Wahayyun ala Allah, who is humiliating in the sight of Allah. Not respectable at all. But these are only the two types of people. You don't have a two type. There is no one who can fall midway between those two things. Where can you fall between that? Because if a person does good and he does bad, Allah will weigh it out. But in the sight of Allah, you are either respectable or not respectable. You are either a transgressor or not a transgressor. So he says only two types of people. Those people who are good and they have piety within themselves and they are respectable in the sight of Allah, and the other one who is the opposite of this. There is no third part, so we shouldn't search for a third part. We should be from among the first category of people, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. قالت الأعراب آمنا. Further in the Holy Quran, Allah says, قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم. Some people from the tribe of Banu Asad came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a time when there was drought in Medina. They did not accept Islam. And they professed to follow Islam. There was no iman in their hearts. And just for the sake of getting sadaqah and getting well from the Muslims, they said, "We are Muslims." And there was no iman in their hearts. They came to Medina and they lied to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they are believers. They deceived the Messenger of Allah into thinking that thus they have been believers a long while ago. And besides that, what they did, they started to, in our language we say, bring off their Islam in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They started to show a form of takabbur and pride in their Islam. In what manner? They started to show the Messenger of Allah that, "Oh Muhammad, all these other people that have accepted Islam, when wars were fought against them and jihad, then they accepted Islam. But you see us, we didn't wait for that. We are better than them. Before even jihad can be waged against us, we accepted Islam and we are here. So we need special treatment. We don't belong to that people." So they were actually bringing all their Islam in front of the Rasul of Allah. Say, "Look at our Islam. Look at our degree of Islam." Based on that, Allah revealed this ayah, in which He states, "قالت الأعراب آمنا." The desert Arab says, "We have iman." This is what they say. "قالت الأعراب آمنا." The desert Arab says, "We have iman." Allah sent a reply to that statement. "قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا." "Oh Muhammad, tell them that you do not have iman. You have no iman." "وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا." "But you should rather say that we have accepted Islam. We have accepted Islam." There is a very important thing we must understand here. that the word Iman and Islam in the Holy Quran and even our hadith, it is used in two different ways. One is with respect to its literal usage, and the other one is with respect to its technical usage. Literally, the word Islam, it comes from the word Aslama Yuslimo. Aslama Yuslimo, the active participle for that will be Muslimun. And it means a person who has surrendered and submitted. So literally, a Muslim means that one who has submitted and surrendered. And Mu'min comes from the word Amana, past tense, Yu'mino is a present future tense. Amana means he brought Iman. Yu'mino means he's bringing Iman or will bring Iman. And it comes from the root verb Aman. Aman means peace and security. Security, protection. And it refers, mu'minun is the active participle of that verb. Amana yu'minu mu'minun, he's a mu'min. So mu'min now is something, when a person has iman in the depths of his heart, literally that is known as iman and mu'min. Because iman is in the heart. So a person who has iman, he's a mu'min. And a person who has Islam, he is a what? Muslim. Iman, literally, it is an action of the heart. Where a person has Iman in his heart. And Islam is an outward expression. So you can surrender by showing that you are performing Salat, etc. So a person, many cases like this, a person will perform Salat, but it doesn't mean Iman entered the heart. So you can say he's a Muslim, but he's not a mu'min. So a person will, you will see him fasting, you will see him practicing Salat, but there is no Iman in the heart. There is no Iman at all in the heart. He's just doing that. So you will see that there is Islam, but there is no Iman. So that is the literal difference between Iman and Islam. And in that context, this is used. In that context, it is used. That here is it, that they really didn't have Iman, but they just wanted to show the Prophet that they are Muslims. So they started to practice Salat, bow down with the Muslims, so that the Messenger of Allah will say, well, they are Muslims also. And this is why the Holy Quran said this. This is why Allah said this. Tell them, because of the fact that there is no Iman in their hearts, if they want to say anything, all they can say, Aslamna, we have Islam. Because you only have outward expression. You only have external obedience and no internal submission to Allah. So, it says, وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا, but say, tell them to say, أَسْلَمْنَا, we have accepted Islam. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, because until now, Allah is saying, until now, Iman has not yet entered their hearts, so they are no mu'min. They are simply Muslims. وَإِن تُطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, Allah says, however, even in this case, where they are saying that they are believers, even in this case, if they are obedient to Allah and to His Rasul, لَا يَلِكُم مِّنَ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا, then Allah, nothing from their amal and actions will be belittled or they will be given a decrease in. So Allah is saying, first of all, that listen, they really don't have Iman and they have Islam. But even in this case here, where they only have Islam and they decide to obey Allah and His Messenger with the trueness of their heart, then let them know Allah will give them their full rewards. Even before they do not have it, but they have it right now, then Allah will not give them any shortcoming in their reward. So that is with respect to the literal usage of the word Muslim and Mu'min. That a person who only has external submission and no internal conviction that Allah is there and He is the Rabb, and you know that Allah is our only creator, there is no other creator, then you say he has, you know, the Islam outside and no Iman in the heart. Okay? Iman starts from the heart and extends to the body. And Islam starts from the external and then enters the heart. That is the movement of Iman and Islam, because Islam is connected to the external expression. So therefore, if you see a person doing certain thing, you can simply say he is a Muslim. And that is what we call each other a Muslim. Allah knows who are the mu'min, because mu'min now is something in the heart which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees. But technically, the technical usage now is that whosoever are true Muslims, they are also mu'min. This is another level now, you know, how it is used technically. So therefore, a person wouldn't say, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Or those who believe and say, well, listen, boy, I am only a Muslim and Allah is speaking the mu'min here. I wouldn't fall into that. Allah says, Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. All mu'min are brothers. And say, listen, I'm only a Muslim. I will not fall in that ayat. No. One is used for the other one. One is used for the other one in the general usage. But when a person only has one, then that is where the differentiation comes now. When a person only has one, that there is only practice, no belief. And this type of attitude where there is only practice and no belief in the heart, Allah has considered them munafiq, hypocrites. Those who show Islam outwardly and has no iman in their hearts. And Allah says in the Quran that they try to deceive Allah and His Messenger by saying that they believe. And Allah says, but really they do not believe. So if Allah is saying, even if now they were to obey Allah and His Messenger, then Allah will give them their full rewards. Inna Allah ghafur rahim. Certainly Allah is ghafur. Allah is forgiven. Rahim. Allah is most merciful. Allah is forgiven. Allah is most merciful. So even if now they are to change their ways and increase their iman and belief, then Allah will forgive them.
إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون قل أتعلمون الله بدينكم والله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض والله بكل شيء عليم يمنون عليك أن أسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين إن الله يعلم غيب السماوات والأرض والله بصير بما تعملون الله says إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله only those are believers who believe in Allah and His Messenger ثم لم يرتابوا and then they have never doubted about that وجاهدوا بأموالهم and they have striven in the path of Allah they have striven with their wealth وأنفسهم and their own selves في سبيل الله in the path of Allah أُولَٰئِكَ these are the people هُمْ الصَّادِقُونَ they are indeed the truthful ones. This is against what these people said. The desert Arabs who came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the previous ayah and they said to the Prophet that they are believers and they are mu'min and the maqsad was that they will show the Prophet of Allah that they have iman but they do not have iman. But they were just showing that they are believers because they wanted sadaqat. And they wanted wealth from the Islamic State. They wanted wealth from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. So when they said they were believers, Allah replied to them saying, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا O Prophet, tell them, don't say that you are mu'min. قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا Tell them, you do not have iman. However, because you have external submission, you can say, قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا Say, we have accepted Islam. As for iman, that has not yet entered your heart. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ Until now, iman has not entered your hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating from them iman because they did not have the requirements to go with it. They did not follow the conditions that went with that. So they only said something with their tongues. Allah is saying, you people are not mu'min, but who are the real mu'min? What are the qualities of the true believers? Allah says, إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله.
The believers are these people. You people, in other words, Allah is saying, you people are not believers. You are just making up something. You are just playing with iman. You are not believers. But who are the believers?
إنما المؤمنون.
Certainly, only those people are believers who, first of all, they believe in Allah wa rasulihi, and then they believe in the Rasul of Allah. And after that belief, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, they have never doubted after that. So they will believe in the Messenger of Allah, and for their entire life, they will never ever doubt for one moment whether he is the Messenger of Allah or not. Whether instructions come to them which are against their own nafs and against their own selves, or whether certain commandments come to them which will be of their benefit, in both cases they continue to accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Messenger of Allah. For there were indeed many people before who, even after their iman of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had doubts about him. So therefore, in cases where the Qibla was changed, first the Qibla was the Haram Sharif, then it went Baytul Muqaddas, then it came back to the Kaaba, these people started to doubt whether the Prophet Muhammad is indeed a prophet or not. And some of the weak Muslims became murtad at that time. The Jews came to them and said, what type of Nabi do you have? Today your Nabi is towards the Haram. The next day your Nabi is towards Baytul Muqaddas, and then the other day back to the Haram. What type of Nabi do you have? And then the mushrikeen on the other side, they were saying to the Prophet, when that incident happened, they were saying that you claim to be from among the descendants of Ibrahim, but you are not performing salah towards the Haram. That happened at a time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, and at that time he was ordered by Allah to face the Baytul Muqaddas and perform salah. Imam Bukhari mentioned in his book that this occurred for about 16 to 17 months, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to perform salah towards Baytul Muqaddas until Allah revealed the law telling him that you can now turn towards the Haram, which is the first house which came on the face of the earth, the house of worship. But during these things, people were just looking for reasons to bring over to the weak Muslims so the weak Muslims will give up iman. And they really caught some of them. So the Jews were going around and said, look what type of Nabi you have. Some of them said, that is true. We do not know where is the next direction. They rejected Islam. Some of them, they accepted Islam, but when hardship started to come over them and persecution started to come over them, they gave up Islam. They doubted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says, the believers are not like that. The true believers are not those people who will come up front for some monetary gains, or for sadaqat, or for charity. They say, we are believers. We are in the masjid. Look at us. We are believers. And then when they are confronted with hardships, it will decrease, and now they will doubt Allah and they will doubt His Rasul. Allah says, no, that is not the true believers. The true believers are those people who really believe in Allah, and they believe in the Messenger of Allah, and they have never doubted after that. After that, they do not have any doubt in their hearts with respect to whether Allah is really our Creator, one and only, and with respect to the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger. They continue to believe in that. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ, and they have striven with their wealth, وَأَنفُسِهِمْ, and their own souls and their own selves, in the path of Allah. This is the sign of the believer. When he can take his wealth and he can take his own self and go out and strive in Allah's path, whether it is going to face the enemies, that is the path of Allah. Whether it is going to help the Muslims in a certain locality, that is the path of Allah. Whether it is going to propagate the deen of Allah in any area, that is the path of Allah. Whether it is going out in search for knowledge, that is the path of Allah also. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kharaja fi talab al-ilm fa huwa fi sabilillahi hatta yarji'a." Whosoever goes out, whosoever leaves his house and he goes out to seek knowledge of the deen of Allah, then he is in the path of Allah until he returns. So all the time that passes here, everyone is in the path of Allah. When you return home now, we are not in the path of Allah again. So the path of Allah, it is very wide and it is broad. And it is not one direction. Because the path of Allah during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going and giving the da'wat and fighting jihad. That was the path of Allah. So together with fighting jihad, there was invitation towards the deen of Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah had given the Muslims victory, and the Muslims started to rule over the empires around them, jihad stopped, because everyone submitted to Islam, but still teaching and learning continued. So all these things were in the path of Allah. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a person goes out in jihad, a person goes out in the path of Allah in jihad, and then some other person looks after his family at home while he is absent from home fighting in the path of Allah, then that person who is looking after his family at home will get the same reward as that person who is going out there. Why? Because of the fact that since this person is taking care of his family, he can give his every single thing for the sake of Allah without any worry, without coming back and rushing back, and without giving up. So this ease here, it makes him work for the deen of Allah even to a greater extent. The ease that he's having here, it makes him work for the deen of Allah. So this is a sign of the believers, that the belief is there in Allah and His Rasul. They do not doubt that. And then they strive in Allah's path, in every avenue where there is the deen of Allah, whether it is building a masjid, whether it is building a madrasa for the deen of Allah, for the ulum, so that the words of Allah can be taught, whether it is helping people, all those things, they are also in the path of Allah. It is very, very, it is wide. They are those who strive in the path of Allah with their wealth and with their own selves. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ Allah says, those people who possess these qualities, they are the truthful ones. Truthful ones meaning, like these people who came to the Prophet, they said they are believers. Other people will say they are believers. Everyone will say they are believers. But who, about whom Allah says they are the truthful ones? They are these people here who believe in Allah, believe in His Rasul. They have never doubted that. They strive in Allah's path with their wealth and their own selves. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ These are the truthful of everyone. The claim of being believers will fit onto these people who have the qualities that are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ Say to them, are you teaching Allah of your deen? Are you instructing Allah of your deen? وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ When Allah knows every single thing in the heavens and in the earth. In other words, these people, they came and they said, we are mu'min and we are believers. Allah asked the Prophet to reply to them, what, do you want to teach Allah your deen? When Allah knows every single thing in the heavens and the earth, and He also knows what is in your hearts, so wouldn't He know that you are just framing yourselves to be believers? So is it a new deen that you want to teach Allah, this is your deen, that you do not have real belief out inside, you are just saying it and that is your deen? So, أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ دِينَ بِدِينِكُمْ Are you teaching Allah about your deen? Are you instructing Allah about your deen? When Allah has the knowledge of every single thing in the heavens and the earth, وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is fully aware of every single thing. Nothing can escape the ilm and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing. So even before they came, before they intended, Allah knew their intention. And when they came and they stood up in front of the Prophet of Allah and they said, we are Mormon, Allah knows very well, it's only a lip service thing, they don't have anything inside. So with all of that, although Allah knows all these things, now they are telling the Prophet, we believe, oh Allah, we are real believers. What are you doing? Allah knows you are not true believers. But rather what they are doing, Allah says, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا They impress upon you that they have believed. They want to impress about you. They want to impress you that they have Iman and they have Islam now. So what happened? They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, listen, say, oh Muhammad, you see, we did not have, no one had to fight us to accept Islam. We came in for ourselves. So our darajah of Islam, it is very high. We're supposed to have special treatment. So in other words, they were bringing off with their Islam. As we say, they were bringing off with their Islam. So Allah says, they impress upon you that they have accepted Islam. Allah says to the Prophet, tell them, قُلْ say to them, O Muhammad, لَا تَمُنُّ عَلَيْيَ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Do not impress me with your Islam. Do not impress me with your Islam. Do not bring off with your Islam. If there is anyone who must count the favor, if there is anyone who can reproach, and if there is anyone who can bring off, and if there is anyone who can count his ni'mat upon us, it is Allah. It is Allah. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. But it is Allah who counts as a favor upon you that He has guided you for iman. Allah can do that, not you. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. That if you are really believers and your iman, it's a true iman in your heart, then Allah impresses upon you that He is the one who has guided you. If had it not been for Him, you would have never been guided. Speaking to these people from Banu Asad, that you come here and you count your Islam as a great thing you have done to Allah, as a favor you have done to the Muslims, as a favor to Allah, that look, we have accepted Islam. Me, it is Allah who can count as a favor upon you. That with all the intention you have, it is Allah who has enabled you to accept iman, and Allah has guided you to become Muslims. Inna Allah ya'lamu ghayra as-samawati wal-ard. Certainly, Allah, He knows the secrets of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows the secrets of the heavens and the earth. Wallahu basirun bima ta'malun. And Allah, He sees every single thing a person does. All the actions that you do, Allah sees it. So one, Wallahu bikulli shay'in alim. Allah has full knowledge of every single thing. Nothing can escape. Nothing can escape Allah's knowledge. And at the end of it now, the Surah Al-Hujurat ends up with a very beautiful message. With a very, very beautiful message. The surah itself speaks about the adab you're supposed to show to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the adab and one of the etiquette that we should show to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when his blessed name is mentioned, we should send the ruud on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a mercy to mankind. The sending of this messenger, Allah says, is a favor from Allah. وَلَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah has certainly conferred upon the believers a great favor when He sent a messenger to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said to his sahabas, أَتَعْرِفُ مَنِ الْبَخِيلُ. Do you know he's a stingy person? Very stingy person. The Sahaba said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu wa alamu. Allah and His Messenger knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Al-Bakhil, a stingy man, a stingy person is that person in whose presence or in front of whom my blessed name is mentioned and he does not send the hood upon me and say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is really a very stingy person. Why is he stingy? Because he feels that he will lose something when he says sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's so stingy, he cannot even say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he feels if he says that now, he's going to lose something. He's going to lose blessings, or his state will go down if he says sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, sometimes people, they do not accept and appreciate the kindness done by other people, and they also cannot appreciate the knowledge of another person. They cannot acknowledge that, because in acknowledging that, it feels that they will have to lower themselves. So sometimes very, very great people come. Allahu Akbar, Allah has blessed the Ummah with very, very great scholars. And just as the tarbiyat, the nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a nature of ilm, saw to that nature of the Messenger of Allah passed over to his entire ummah, the nature of ilm and knowledge. Wallah, by Allah, as our scholars have stated, the amount of scholars Islam has, no other religion on the face of the earth have that amount of scholars. From the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until now, there is absolutely no group from any deen who can produce people who have learnt out the religious book by heart, whether it is before the Rasul or after the Rasul. It is a great ni'mat of Allah that He bestows upon people. They can learn the Holy Quran by heart from the beginning to the end and know it correctly, and they will not even slip by a sukun or a jazm or a tashdeed or a nukta or a fatha or a dhamma. They will not even slip, and they will stop exactly where Allah has put us, where its witness stop, without even looking, from the beginning to the end. That is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given. And so people, because of that type of attitude, very great people come in their midst. And while where these people live, they are appreciated so high, and it's an honor that they will come to people and give up their ulum and knowledge, Sheikh al-Hadith, Muhaddis, big muftis, etc. When they come, people say, well, we have brother so and so in our midst. What, will you lose if you call him Maulana, Mufti? Will you lose if you call him Sheikh? Will you address him, you know, if you address him in a respectable manner, will you lose something? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that we have to respect those people who are endowed with ulum. And Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to us that he is not from among us who does not respect those people who are higher than him, whether in age or whether in taqwa, piety or learning, and who are not compassionate to those who are younger than him. Islam teaches us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions how they should respect others, those who are higher than them. Once, as I mentioned, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was walking, and another sahabi was walking in front of him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him, said, what's wrong with you? Why are you walking in front of such a righteous soul? Walk behind him, adab. So the point that we are coming to is that when Islam preaches us about ourselves, how much more love and respect we should show to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Allah begins, because the surah is about adab, about etiquettes, ma'asharat, how we live together. And after Allah, the greatest love you can show among human beings is that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Holy Quran, the surah, the ayah, the surah in fact begins with adab about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How we should be careful in using, calling the name of the Prophet, speaking loud. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many other teachings, guidelines. He gives us many prohibitions. He teaches us in this surah that we are all united in one brotherhood. We are not enemies. We are not enemies. He tells us, yes, you see different tribes. What does it mean that they are your enemies? He says, no. He himself, Allah has created all these tribes. And he created so many different groups. And he created so many different races. But is it that Allah has created it so that we will become enemy against each other? Allah says, no, I've created qabail, tribes and nations, lita'arafu, so that you may know each other, you may unite, you may love each other, etc., etc. Because Allah tells us the reason is that we are all one brotherhood, we are coming from Adam alayhi salam. And then Allah outlines to us all those things He doesn't want us to do. Why does He want us to do those things? Because it will disunite us. Because backbiting will disunite us. So He doesn't want us to backbite. Because slandering will disunite us and make us into enemies. So He says, do not slander. Spying on each other will disunite us. He says, don't spy. لا تجسسوا. Having bad suspicions about each other will disunite us. So do not. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Refrain much from suspicion. All these things are going to disunite us. So He says, don't do all these things. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, or those who believe, do not do these things, because they are going to break you and smash you into pieces. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the surah, He gives us a very beautiful lesson, which is connected back to the surah. When Bilal radiallahu ta'ala gave the azan in the Haram Sharif, a type of racialism showed up itself. A type of racialism showed up itself. Ah, where is this black man coming from? Na'uzubillah. What did they say? Where is this black vulture coming from? Could not Muhammad find another person beside him? Allah reminded all human beings. And Allah said to all human beings, when He says, Ya ayyuhan nasu. Now, from the beginning of the surah, it starts with Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman, with those who believe. But the address now is for the entire human beings. Ya ayyuhan nasu, O mankind, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. We have created you from one man and one woman. And the entire human race is created from that one man and one woman. Whether you are black, you are still from Adam. Whether you are white, you are still from Adam. Whether you are yellow, whether you are red, you are still from Adam. Whether your hair is straight or it's curly, you are still from Adam. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ Allah says, we have made you into nations and tribes so that you may recognize and know each other. And then as a principle, as a usul, He says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ Certainly the most honored amongst you in the sight of Allah is that one who has most piety and righteousness within him. After all these things, Allah mentions about people who claim to be believers, but they aren't really believers. For some benefit, they will come and say that they are believers. And so too, even up to today, you will have people come in, say, well, we are believers, because they might get some benefit. But Allah knows in their heart, there is no iman. So about such people, Allah says, "Bas, just take the word of Islam. Say you are Muslims, you have accepted Islam. As for iman, do not even take that name, which is known as iman." And then Allah outlines that to us, who are the true believers? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ In that ayah, Allah outlines to us, who are the true believers? What are the qualities that are necessary to go with a true believer? And when that person possesses those qualities, Allahu Akbar, Allah says, Allah himself gives the decision, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ Now no doubt about his iman. He's a pakka, true believer. A true believer. Then Allah teaches us another lesson. We should never ever think that we be becoming believers, and we being believers, we have done a favor to Allah. We should never ever think like that. But all of us, we are coming to masjid, that's a great favor we are doing to Allah. Or we have given a lot of charity, we have done a favor to Allah. No. Allah says, don't count your Islam and your practices that you do that as a favor. In fact, if anyone must count favor, or if anyone must recognize the favors of another person, we all must recognize the favor of Allah. Because the fact that we are believers, it was based on the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was based on the guidance from Allah. It is because Allah loves us that He has not chosen us for a path of kufr or shirk, but He has chosen us for the path of iman, to believe in Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the real source behind our iman and our good actions and our practices. And after giving all these things, Allah tells us that, O believers, you should know that there is absolutely nothing in the heavens and the earth can be hidden from Allah. Absolutely nothing in the heavens and the earth can be hidden from Allah. Allah said you shouldn't backbite. If you go in the corner of the earth, below the earth, beneath seven earth, layers of earth, and you still backbite, what do you think? That will be hidden from Allah? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah is the knower. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all the secrets of the heavens and the earth. Do you think you can plot against your Muslim brother to dishonor him and no one will know about it? Allah knows the secrets of the heavens and the earth. And as a beautiful lesson, this surah, it ends off with وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ That Allah sees every single thing you do. Every single thing a person does, Allah sees it. Whether we are in our bedrooms, whether we are on the road, whether we are in our car, what we say, Allah hears it. What we do, Allah sees it. Nothing can escape Allah. So therefore, we should abide by the instructions which Allah has given to us. Because if we go against it, let us know that these things will not be hidden from Allah. He knows it very well. And then one day Allah will take us to task for these things. And more so, when we know that these things are wrong, surely He will take us to task even greater, with a greater punishment, once we know that these things are prohibited and we do not abide by it. So we must always remember, my dear brothers and sisters,
We must always remember, وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah sees every single thing that a person does. There is absolutely no place, no land, nowhere that a man can do something and Allah doesn't see that person. Allah has full knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge about everything. He hears everything. He sees everything. He knows what comes in a heart. He knows what intention a man has. He knows what a man is planning to do. All these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So we should be very, very careful and have these two important points here. Two beautiful ayah that is mentioned close together at the end of the surah. Wallahu bi kulli shayin alim. Allah has knowledge of every single thing. And the other ayah, Allah sees every single thing. So wherever we are, and anytime shaitan whispers to us, and a bad thought comes into our mind to say something wrong or to do something wrong, let us reflect on these two ayahs. Allah knows what we are doing and Allah is seeing us. And today, tomorrow we're going to die. And we're going to be resurrected and standing before Allah. And what Allah has seen us doing, He will question us about the said things we used to do. Let us...